Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, August 1st, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Natalie Smith. Natalie and her husband Lee are very involved in the ministries of Mountain Brook Baptist, and I can't wait for you to hear our conversation about things of life and faith. But first, Natalie, thank you for reading God's word to us.
Thank you for having me. Our passage today is Luke 21, verses 1 through 19. And I'm reading from the ESV. Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box, and he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And he said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for they all contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." And while some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, he said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And they asked him, "Teacher, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "See that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and the time is at hand. Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place, but the end will not be at once." Then Jesus said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and pestilences, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it, therefore, in your minds not to meditate beforehand how to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up, even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives." And Psalm 20, 1 and 2. "May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion."
Thank you so much, Natalie, for joining the podcast and for reading so beautifully for us. We want to get to know you a little bit more. Where did you grow up? And share with us about your upbringing.
Thanks for having me. I grew up in South Houston, which is a really big city. But the truth is, we spent a lot of time on my grandparents' farm. So I don't feel like a city girl, necessarily. We had a great church that I was a part of. It was the Church of Christ. And it was a very, very close community. And what most people think of when they think of Church of Christ is a cappella singing. And that is a very big part of my childhood growing up. We sang, it comes from the Sacred Harp tradition. They had shape note music. And everyone sang loudly. They weren't great, but it was so spirit-filled and so meaningful. And you really got to know your church members, young and old, kind of by what part they sang. I knew what parts my mother's friends sang, and I listened for them in certain songs, and I knew what Brother Seymour's favorite music was, or his favorite hymn, because whenever he led the singing, he was always going to sing, "I Have a Mansion Over the Hilltop." So that was really nice, and I feel like it shaped me a lot, because we didn't have Sunday school. We just sat in the pew, and so I read the music, the words to the hymns, if I was bored or something like that.
Is that where you grew to love music? Because I know now you sing in the church choir.
Yes, that definitely started me on the path of loving music. And so I always sought out opportunities to sing in choirs and junior high and high school and college. And then when I came to Mountain Brook Baptist, I was anxious to join the choir and have been in it ever since 1987.
You mentioned joining a choir in college. One of the questions I love to ask is about your college experience. Where did you go to college and what was your major?
Well, I went to Baylor University, and at the time I was a history major, and I still love history, but I didn't end up graduating with a major in history.
I know that you and Lee also met at Baylor, and if I'm remembering correctly, it's a really cute story. Would you share it with us?
Sure. So Lee was one of the first people I met. I met him the first day that I was on campus. We went a week early for an orientation program, and he was my orientation leader. And so we really were not dating until like a couple months later, but we dated all through college, my college. And one kind of fun thing that he did was we were in the bookstore one time looking at a calendar that had pre-printed all the football games on it. And he asked me to the next weekend's football game. And I said, okay. And then he flipped over to the next Saturday and asked me to the next football game. And he kept going all the way through homecoming. And at one point I looked at him and I said, are you sure? That's a long way off. And he said, yeah, I'm sure.
Aww.
So I love that.
And you dated all through college. And when did you get engaged?
We got engaged after my junior year, and we got married that summer and moved here. And I transferred my hours to Samford and graduated from Samford with a degree in secondary education.
And once you moved to Birmingham, did you immediately go to Mountain Brook Baptist?
Yes. Lee's parents were members here, and Sharon was on staff even way back then.
So for those who don't know, Sharon Howard is Lee's sister.
And my sweet sister-in-law, yes, who's just been wonderful. And so since they were all members here, we looked around a little bit, but really it wasn't a hard decision to come here. And we're, of course, glad we did join Mountain Brook Baptist.
And then you had two girls. I would like for you to share with everyone about them and their growing families.
So we have two daughters, Claire and Anna, and they were both baptized in this church and members of the youth group. Wayne and Mary were their youth ministers, which was awesome. That was such an answered prayer, because as soon as they were born, we were praying that they would have a very strong youth program, and they did. Claire is now married, and she and Chris have three children. Chris is plays in the contemporary worship, and they both sing in the choir, and they have three children, Argie, Kit, and Heidi. And one kind of cool thing is they live across the street from us.
That is wonderful.
It is wonderful. And then Anna is married to Alan, and they live in Flagstaff, Arizona. And they have one son. His name is Grant, and he is growing and getting stronger, and he is just great. And I want to thank everybody for praying for him, because he had a little bit of a health scare when he was first born, but that seems to have been all resolved, and he's just doing great.
I loved getting to meet him in the spring, such a special time, because we had seen the Lord working in his life, for sure.
Yes, and I feel like Anna thinks of this church as her family, and for her, coming here very much felt like being embraced by family, and everybody was so sweet and loving to her and happy to see Grant. So that was just wonderful.
Once you came to Mountain Brook Baptist, did you immediately get involved?
Yes, pretty much. You don't have a choice when your sister-in-law is a children's minister. Well, at that time, she wasn't children's minister, but it didn't matter. I started teaching GAs very early on. I remember teaching with Brenda Knapp, and one day she walked in and looked at me and she goes, you're pregnant. And I hadn't told anyone, and she just knew. So that I did for many years, and then switched over to children's choir when they had a need. And so those were two of the areas that I served in for many, many years when I was younger. And now Jane Pitts and I are leading a growth group, which is wonderful. I love that we have growth groups at our church now, and they mean a lot to us.
You have a very special group. It's intergenerational.
It is intergenerational, which is wonderful. We've even had a young high school student, Emma Hester, who was with us for a while. And my mother is in that group. And so we just kind of enjoy each other's company. And we do a Bible study each semester, but I would say our main focus is on fellowship. We come around and share prayer requests and praises, and we pray for each other, and we don't shortchange that at all. We take our time and follow up, and I think as our church grows, it's really nice to have a group of people who you know they know what's going on in your life. You may not want to tell everybody. You might not even want to tell your Sunday school class, but there's a certain trust factor, and we do show a lot of love for each other in that way.
You mentioned your mom, Miss Louise. She came to live in Birmingham how many years ago now?
She came in 2023.
And it's such a fun story about her also getting connected in the church.
Yes, she is a natural. She just comes in and meets people. And I've met people through her who have been members of this church a long time like me. And so it kind of puts me to shame a little bit. But she loves the people at this church and has just really enjoyed connecting with them. And oftentimes I'm asking her questions of things that you would think she would be asking me.
What are some ways you have grown in your faith as an adult?
When I was a young mother, I was a member of a women's Bible study led by Catherine Allen. And one of the things we talked about was the tension between grace and truth and justice and mercy and things like that. And I think from my childhood experience, I tended to lean into the justice part of that equation. But when I said that, Catherine looked at me and said, "You might want to think about that a little bit," which at first was a little bit challenging to me, but it was exactly what I needed to hear. And the more I've learned to accept my total depraved condition, that I'm totally lost and there's nothing I can ever do, no amount of striving could ever save me, that has been the most clarifying thing for my faith. And it has helped me in not just my own life, but in my relationship with others, because now I see others as kindred spirits. We're all lost. I'm just as lost as anyone I can see whose sins might be more obvious than mine. But also in my worship, because I feel like I can worship and adore him because I know what I'm so aware of what he's done for me.
Let's talk a little bit about the passages that you read today. As you read, were there words that stuck out or some kind of thought that came to mind?
Yes, I thought they were very scary. I thought, I have no idea what this means. But whenever I'm confronted with scriptures like that, like our growth group did Revelation recently, and I kept going back to, I know I'm not supposed to be afraid, because that is a message that comes through in scripture very well. And even in the psalm that we read today, it said, "May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary." And those are such comforting words. And then it was also making me think about one of my very favorite scriptures, which is 2 Timothy 1:7, which is, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." To me, those two, the scripture that we read, the Luke scripture, even though it is a little bit scary and we don't understand it, it just keeps pointing me back to how God wants us to not be afraid and to have a spirit of love, because kind of love is the answer to fear.
Yes, and if we are confronted by people who do not love God and we're called to give an answer for that, he asks us to trust that he'll give us the words. Is that the scary part?
That's actually a comforting part, but the part leading up to it was a little bit scary about how you might be called before people who hate you or who are not on your side. And the scripture tells us to just trust and just give it to him, and he will give us the words when we need them.
Have you ever practically experienced this passage?
I have. I can't exactly tell you when it was, but I remember thinking that I was caught off guard and I needed to defend my faith or something about it. And I just was like, "Oh, Lord, help me. I don't know what to say." And whatever came out, I don't even remember what it was, but I felt like it was okay. And I think that he was there for me in the moment that I needed him, because I was not ready.
Natalie, is there a song that helps you think about your story of redemption?
Yes, there's a song that I love. It's called "How Deep the Father's Love for Us." And there's one verse in particular that I can't really get through it. So I probably cry when I tell you, but It's, "Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished." So when I hear that verse of that song, it just reminds me of the seriousness of sin and the great gift of salvation. And I mean, that's the story.
Thank you so much, Natalie, for joining the podcast and for reminding us of the great gift of salvation. You are such a gift to our congregation, and we thank God for you. As we close, would you end our time together with prayer, and then we'll have Micaiah sing for us the second verse of "How Deep the Father's Love for Us."
Sure. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this beautiful day and this time to be together and read your word. Thank you for our church and for our community. And thank you for this family. Help us to always remember that you are there with us. I'm grateful for the times that you show us our sin and allow that to lead us back to you, and for the gift of confronting our sin and for knowing how much we need you, and for the gift of your salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is fit.